Book of Revelation, chapter 7. There is always a witness. Something's going on in your life. Lord, did you see that? Weren't you watching? We kind of think that God is so busy running the universe that certainly He doesn't have time for me and my stuff. God doesn't have a lot of time on His hands. Where He lives, there is no time whatsoever. You see, God can look at our time here this morning, and He can see you sitting here scrubbed and polished. You look good, Harvest Family. You look good today. Just as easy as you can look from here to there, He sees you a month from now. He sees you 10 years from now. And here's the part that gets me. He sees you right now, worshiping Him in your brand new body a kajillion years from now. Oh, you look good too. Woo, you look good. But for now, sometimes it just seems to us that, well, maybe we're not His highest priority. We're going to see illustrated here for us that God never leaves planet Earth without a witness. I did the house lights just a little bit. There is my ancient scroll that I found online. As you can see, it's opened up, and there across the top, those are the seven seals of chapter 6. Chapter 7 is a great parenthesis. Starting next week, we're going to see the seventh seal pop, and when the seventh seal is opened, you're going to see that from that seven seal are going to be seven trumpets. Hit the go button, and there they are. After the sixth trumpet, there's going to be yet another parenthesis. Chapters 10 through 14. Then when we get to the seventh trumpet, out of the seventh trumpet are going to come seven bowl judgments. Go ahead. And there they are. After the sixth one, there's going to be yet one more parenthetical chapter. It's going to be chapter 16. Now I want you to notice the order that the book of Revelation is in. You've probably already noticed what are called heptaphs, or groups of seven. Sevens, what's up with the sevens? By the way, how many continents on planet Earth? How many seas on the Earth or oceans? How many days in a week? How many visible bands of color in the typical rainbow? All the music that we hear, all the songs that we love, melody, harmony, and rhythm. Do you know that all music is based on seven notes to a scale? Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. The other do is the octave on the top. What's up with all the sevens? It's God's fingerprint of His creation, that His workmanship bears the mark of its creator. I've got a very difficult assignment for you. Get any supercomputer that you would like. Get a big cup of coffee, because you're going to need it. Out of your supercomputer and your own creativity, I want you to engineer a genealogy of names. But I'm going to give you some rules. Are you ready? Rule number one. The number of words in your list must all be divisible by seven with no remainders. Number two, the number of letters that you use as many as you want. But when you're done, they all must be divisible by seven, no remainders. Number three, use any number of vowels that you want, your A-E-I-O-U's and so on. But when you're done, they must be divisible by seven. Well, we better throw some consonants in there as well, the non-vowels. Use as many of those as you want, but when you're done, they've got to be divisible by seven. The number of words that begin with a vowel. Go ahead, use as many as you want, but when you're done, divisible by seven. Number of words, let's say, that begin with a consonant. Divisible by seven. The number of words that occur more than once. Use many duplicate words if you want, or names, but when you're done, the number of them must be divisible by seven. How hard is this so far? Some of you are going, I could do it. God bless you. Number eight. The number of words that occur in more than one form. Sometimes you have verbs. Sometimes you have adverbs. Sometimes you have nouns. Sometimes you have pronouns. Use a whole bucket full of them. But when you're done, they have to be divisible by 7. The number of words that occur in only one form, divisible by 7. Hey, let's use some nouns, person, place, or thing. And when you're done, they have to be divisible by 7. Let's make only 7 words that will not be nouns. The number of names, go ahead, use as many as you want, but when you're done, divisible by 7. The number of male names, divisible by 7. And finally, the number of generations, divisible by 7. How hard is that? If you were walking along the sidewalk and you happened to look down and pull out of the gutter, rinse the dust off and look at it, and if you found a list of names and genealogies that all 14 of these criteria were true of, would you guess that that was by happenstance, or did somebody work really hard at it? Do you know where you can find such a list as this? In the book of Matthew, chapter 1, the first 11 verses in the original Koine Greek, all of that genealogy, these 14 criteria are met. And by the way, those weren't just names that somebody pulled out of a hat. They were real names of real people who really existed. How many of you know what gematria is? In some of the ancient languages, the letters also stood for numbers. Cardinal numbers, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 9, they don't show up until many, many years later. These older languages, like you've heard of Roman numerals, Super Bowl, XVIIVFD, all that kind of stuff, that's Roman numerals. The Greeks also had corresponding numerical values. If you add up all of the numerical values of verses 1 through 11, you get the gematria total of 42,364. Guess what? It's divisible by 7. Those are real people who really did live. How did that happen? By accident. Well, in case you were wondering, if only 5 of these criteria were met by happenstance of real humans naming their babies real names, that would be 1 chance in 17,000. If you accomplished 8, that would be 1 in 5.7 million. All 14 by happenstance would be 1 in 40 million chances. Are you agreeing with me that it's probably not by happenstance? There was a fella by the name of Dr. Ivan Panin. He was born in 1885 in Russia. He and his family fled the czars as they were increasing their grip on the nation. They immigrated to the United States, and he graduated from Harvard in 1882. The rabbis were always talking about this rule of 7. The scriptures are full of 7s. He got intrigued, and he spent the last 50 years of his life finding them. By his own hand, he generated over 43,000 pages of rules of 7 in the scriptures. This Bible that we hold in our lap is not like any other book out there. 43,000 pages of 7s after 7s after 7s. Amen? Is there anybody out there of an engineering or mathematical background? You know that there is no possible way that your Bible went together by just a group of people. The book of Revelation patterned around 7 seals. And between the 6th seal and the 7th seal is a period of rest. Between the 6th trumpet and the 7th trumpet, a period of rest, parentheses. And between the 6th and 7th bowl. How many days did it take God to create the earth? 6. What did he do on the 7th? He rested. Is that because God was tired? God took a day of rest, not because he had to. He took a day of rest because he wanted to model something. And then the Bible says, with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Genesis chapter 5. Then you go to Genesis chapter 11, you can put more to the story. From Adam to Abraham is about 2,000 years. From Abraham to Jesus is about 2,000 years, for a total of what, everybody? 4,000. And then what's today's date? The year is 2,000 years approximately from Jesus. How many thousand years is that from Adam to roughly today? About 6,000. And the devil has worked very hard to confuse the calendars so that nobody knows the exact day. A day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as a day. Why did God work 6 days and take the seventh day to rest? Because for 6,000 years, humans have been toiling and working through the sin-saturated world. That last 1,000 years, that seventh, that Sabbath millennia is going to be all about what? Rest. And whenever that 6,000th year clanks over, God blows the trumpet, out goes the church in the rapture, and then you're going to see a 7-year tribulation. This great tribulation is what the book of Revelation is all about. And God has structured it around, guess what? Sevens. And if he has engineered his word, is he engineering and working precision into your life and eternity? Verses 1 through 8, we're going to see a group of people, 144,000 of them. They're going to be supernaturally saved through the last seal, which contains 7 trumpets and 7 bowls. They're going to be witnesses for Christ. Around chapter 11, there are 2 witnesses that God calls. When Jesus takes the church out, God never leaves his planet without a witness. The church leaves, and who shows up on the scene? The man of lawlessness, says 2 Thessalonians. The Holy Spirit who restrains this Antichrist will do so until he is taken out. And then the man of lawlessness will be revealed. How do we know that it's him? There's only one way that we'll know for sure. When the church goes out, literally the camera is going to swing somewhere to around the Temple Mount proper. And on the Temple Mount proper, there is going to be a new temple that the Jews can put up within hours. We've talked about that before. All the elements are done. The priests have been identified through DNA. All the accoutrements are done. The priestly garments are done. All that they need is just the green light. And they'll be up and functioning in a priesthood within hours. The Bible says when that happens, if you will, the camera will swing over to the ribbon cutting. Fwing! Yay, the Jews get their temple. Immediately, 2 voices begin to cry out somewhere on the Temple Mount. It's probably going to be Elijah and Moses. There's reasons for that. And they're going to be saying, "You don't need that temple, Jews. People of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you don't need that temple. Jesus Christ is the temple that takes away all of our sins." For the next 3.5 years, people really hate those guys. And they try to kill them. And they rush them with soldiers. And they try to bomb them with all kinds of stuff. And you know what these 2 fellas do? They just simply ask God to bring down fire. Zap, 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 zap. Anybody else want to give it a try? Can't touch them for 3.5 years. At the end of that 3.5 years, God then says, "Okay, your time is done. 1,260 days right to the day." And he pulls his supernatural cover from them. He allows them to be killed. And here is a technology statement tucked away in your book of Revelation. "And the whole world sees their dead bodies." Well, didn't John write that? Mm-hmm. About 2,000 years ago? Mm-hmm. How did John know about satellite telecommunications and smartphones? You see, the Bible is way ahead of the whole curve. They lay dead for 3 days, and then 3 days later, God puts life back into them, and they sit up. They stand up, and then they ascend, probably from the Mount of Olives, just like the Shekinah glory left Israel back in the book of Ezekiel. All of Israel, for the last 3.5 years, have been saying, these guys are cramping our style. Every time we go to the temple for sacrifices, they keep preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But now they're dead and they all pass out gifts. Yay, they're dead. And then they sit up. And then they raise. What does all of Israel do? Moses, the law. Elijah, the prophet. The law and the prophets are saying, we told you so. Fade to black. And all of Israel's going, I think we goofed up. As a nation, God pours His Spirit out upon them. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Then they, Israel, will look upon me, whom they pierced. That's Old Testament. When was Jehovah God pierced, you guys? When He hung on a cross. At that point, the last 3.5 years, these 144,000 are supernaturally sealed with a seal. When these terrible trumpet judgments and bowl judgments start happening, they do not affect these 144,000. That's verses 1 through 8. Verses 9 through 17 is a whole other crowd we'll talk about when we get there. Now verse 1. After these things, chapter 6, the six seals, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. That's men's perspective. It appears to us to be flat with four corners, but let's not forget that in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, written 700 BC, the Bible says that God sits above the circle of the earth. This was well before Copernicus. When everybody else thought that the world was indeed flat, it was the Bible 700 years B.C. that says, God abides above the circle of the earth. That's God's perspective. So I saw the four angels standing at the four corners, man's perspective, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. This is probably literal climactic conditions. Wind in biblical typology or models is always referring to judgment. Remember, there's a bit of a parenthesis between seal number 6 and seal number 7. For you Bible students, check out Jeremiah 49, verses 36, Jeremiah 51, verses 1 and 16. Before the trumpets are going to blow, God says, time out, hold up, because we are going to seal some people. What is a seal? You know what it was when you would take a glob of hot wax and you would press into it the imprint of some device. The imprint showed you the authority. It showed ownership and authentication. It was the owner's responsibility to protect. Verse 2. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east. Now remember, he's from Patmos. That would be roughly Israel. Having the seal, the actual seal is a device that was called sphragizo. Most familiar to us in the form of a signet ring. Verse 2. And he cried out with a loud voice, and the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees until we, these angels, have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Angels marked Lot and his family before the judgment was brought down on Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 19. God marked the households of the believing Jews leaving from Egypt. What did he mark the household with? The blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel. Under Joshua, their very first major battle was with Jericho. Do you remember there was one of the gals? She was marked, as it were, by a scarlet thread. This mark that we're reading about right here is prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 9. Some people keep trying to put the Christians on planet Earth during the 7-year tribulation. They're not there. Well, what about this mark? Oh, these are Christians, right? With great respect, Christians are already marked. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed. For what day? For the day of redemption. What day is that? Rapture. Sphragizo. That by which anything is confirmed and proved and authenticated. Greek as a language is a very formal language. It has some very strict laws. Sealed. It is in the aorist tense, having always been. Before the foundations of the world, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Also, it's called the passive voice. It's being done for you. You are receiving it without any effort on your part. When you asked Jesus into your life, you got sealed. You can't see it, but it's there. And you didn't do anything except what? Receive it. It's also called the indicative mood. It's a simple statement of fact. If an action really occurs or has occurred or will occur, it will be rendered in the indicative mode. You and I, believers in Jesus Christ, are sealed. We don't have to be sealed again. That's why the church is not on the earth when this stuff happens. This is important doctrine. You have been purchased, sanctified, and sealed. Verse 4. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. There's a lot of doctrines that have been swirling around. God got so mad at the Jews for putting Jesus on the cross that he folded his arms, turned his back on the Jews. Now God is going to give all of Israel's promises to the church. It's called replacement theology. And please hear me very clearly. That is heretical. It is not accurate. Here is a case in point. 12,000 from each of the what, everybody? 12 tribes of Israel. Is God done with the Jews? Answer, no. And one more point of clarification. It was not the Jews who put Jesus on the cross. You're right, it was the Romans. Well, not them either. You know who put Jesus on the cross? I did that. That was my sins. That's real important because anti-Semitism, God is so mad at the Jews that it's okay if you kill them wholesale. And it was that reasoning and false doctrine that Hitler built his propaganda machine and murdered systematically 6 million Jews. It's heretical. It's demonic. Why is the devil working so hard to exterminate the Jews? Because the devil knows if he can wipe out the Jews, then he has made null and void all of the prophecies of the book of Revelation. Have you ever noticed that? Whenever some despot rises to the throne, whether it was the Roman emperors, the Assyrians, the Spanish Inquisition, right up until Hitler, why does every world dictator go after the Jew?